1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now we beg you, brothers, and encourage you by the Lord Jesus, that as you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would grow more and more. Now, that's a feature of the Christian life, that you abound or grow more and more, that it doesn't get boring, it sort of gets more and more active. For we know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, even your holiness, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his body in an honourable and holy way, not in lust, just like the Gentiles who don't know God. The point is, if you know God, that affects how you use your body. It affects your relationships with people. Now, to know God doesn't just mean to know facts about God. It means to have a relationship with God. And so he says, in this case, nobody will go onwards and defraud his brother. If you take another person's wife, you're defrauding or deceiving your brother, like David did to Uriah when he took Bathsheba. And the Lord is the punisher of all such people, as we've also warned you. For God has not called us to an unclean life, but to a holy life. Whoever despises does not despise man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So then God has given us his Spirit in that he wants us to act as he would act if he were human, that is, as Jesus would act. So if you've received that Spirit but you act in another way, then this is really going against all the power that God has given you to live otherwise. Now, about brotherly love. You don't need that I write to you, because you yourselves are taught directly by God to love one another. We're taught directly by God in that when you see the love of God for us, then you know that I must love others. You cannot be passive towards his love. And indeed, you do this toward all the brothers who are in all Macedonia. But we beg you, brothers, that you increase more and more. So when you live the life of love, you go on abounding in it more and more. So it's not boring. Life is never boring or stable, but you keep going. And be ambitious to be quiet and to do your own work, working with your own hands as we commanded you, so that you can live honestly towards those who are without and that you may have lack of nothing. So then we are to walk honestly towards those who are outside. So clearly there is an idea of those inside and those outside. So there is a division between us and the world. He talks about those who are outside. And there are those barriers, and we are to recognize that because we have responsibility to God, we have relationship with God, we look forward to living forever by his grace. And yet those who have not believed are, the Bible says, in darkness. Doesn't mean we're better than them, but it does mean that there is a fundamental difference. And that's why to have close friendships with such people, to enter into personal close relationships, it's really like mixing with darkness. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, about those who have fallen asleep. He means those who've died. Don't sorrow as those who have no hope. So he's saying that you will sorrow, but your sorrow will be different to those who don't have any hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so those also who sleep in Jesus will God bring up with him. So because Jesus died and rose again, those who are baptized into Jesus will also rise again with him when he comes back. For this we tell you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord Jesus will not go before those who are asleep. So he's talking specifically about those in the last generation, God willing us, we who are alive and remain when Jesus comes back. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be snatched away together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this is just what Jesus had taught, that two people will be working in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be working at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. And so when Jesus comes, we will be snatched away. And the unbelievers with whom we live and work and study will just be like, wow, what happened? He's gone. And so all the questions about, well, how are we going to get to judgment? You know, do we have to go to a travel agent or go online and buy an air ticket? No, we will be snatched away. Just like Philip, when he baptized the Ethiopian, was snatched away. He was one minute in the desert, the next minute he was somewhere else. And so we will be snatched away. This will really happen. And if we've died, or as he says, if we're asleep, we will be resurrected. And we will come together with those who are still alive when at the point of Jesus' coming. And we shall be together forever with the Lord Jesus. That is the essence. And so that's why he's telling these early Christians who seem to have misunderstood or not adequately understood these things that, look, this is what's going to happen. There will be a real resurrection of the dead who are in Christ. And those in your church who've died, you will see them again. Whether or not they've died before Jesus comes is no problem. For us, death is like a sleep. And the next waking moment will be when Jesus is back. So just like when you go to sleep, next thing you know, it's morning. So it is with death that the next waking moment will be the coming of Jesus. This is the most wonderful hope.